Hello and welcome to MLW Confusion. I'm your host, Rob Cameron, bringing you all that you may or may not need to know about Major League Wrestling and its television programming. This week, we're going to take a look at MLW Fusion Alpha Episode 4. But first, of course, we got some news to be had. The biggest news to come out of this week is that Major League Wrestling has signed wrestling commentator Joe Dombrowski, a notable name known for his work with Ring of Honor, All-American Wrestling in Chicago, and of course has been the voice of AAA's Triple Mania as well. So this is going to be, you know, a solid get for MLW. And the real question is ultimately going to be, where would he fit in the commentary scheme right now? We have Rich Puccini and Mr. St. Laurent. In theory, Dombrowski does his thing, like he would be a logical replacement for Rich Puccini. But as we will find out tonight, spoiler alert, it's Mr. St. Laurent who's been shown the door. At least metaphorically. I assume he's still with the company. I haven't heard anything about him being let go yet. But he will be placing Mr. St. Laurent on commentary tonight. In addition to that big signing, MLW President Court Bauer got his hands, well, got his mouth and got an ear in Forbes magazine this week. Alfred Konuwa. Oh, I probably butchered that name pretty bad because I've never actually heard it before. Sat down with Mr. Bauer and kind of talked about all things MLW. They go over the Fightland event and what a big deal that was. Obviously, Fightland was a huge deal. Title for title, 2 years in the making, Hammerstone versus Fatu, World Heavyweight Championship, National Openweight Championships on the line. And so that was kind of a big deal, as was the return to the 2300 arena. They also put over Alicia Toots and her embedded segment from Fightland. Really put that over, though I full-heartedly disagree with how well that was put over. But, you know, whatever. You got to self-promote to, you know, make that money, create some buzz. And also, they note that MJF evidently name-dropped MLW on a recent promo on AEW Dynamite, noting that, you know, he can just walk out the door and go anywhere, and one of the places he could go was MLW. This is just notable, one, it was just because the name drop, obviously that's kind of a big deal potentially, and two, MJF has history with the company, so it wouldn't be that big of a surprise if, you know, if for some odd reason he would ever leave AEW if he would come wandering back to MLW. Though at this time, Court says that any plans for MJF's return is not on the table, that there's no Forbidden Door style shenanigans to be had, that it was just Mr. Friedman's attempt to stir the pot and get people riled up. And it sounds like the goal has been accomplished. So good job, MJF. Got the pot stirred again. Good job. All right. It is time to wander into our wrestling event. Once again, of course, this is MLW Fusion Alpha Episode 4. We will be joined by Joe Dombrowski and Rich Puccini giving us the action tonight. But the show has to open first, and it does with a recap of Fightland and its two big title matches. Notably, Yoshihiro Tajiri taking the middleweight championship in a fatal four-way, actually pinning the former champion Myron Reed in the process. And then, of course, ya boy, Alexander Hammerstone becomes Hammer Two Belts and, you know, has now totally reigned supreme in Major League Wrestling, vanquishing Contra, or so we think, so we hope, in our hearts and minds and souls and whatnot. Anyway, Joe and Rich welcome us to the show. They run down our card tonight. We're going to get some Opera Cup action. Our main event, Davey Richards, will be taking on Filthy Tom Lawler in the first round of the Opera Cup. And we will also see more featherweight division featuring Brittany Blake taking on Delmi Exo. But before all that can happen, we have our opening contest. It is the debuting, well, at least in singles competition, Lee Moriarty taking on heavyweight hustle Calvin Tankman. This is Moriarty's singles debut. He'd previously been in the Battle Riot event, and he's currently in the Opera Cup brackets. This is also notable that commentary puts over that he's been signed with AEW as of this point, so it's technically an interpromotional matchup here tonight. The match starts off, Moriarty's trying to get some wrestling in, tries to get some speed. Tankman isn't having any of it. Lee gets a lucky kick in there and just really makes Tank... Okay. Moriarty is down. He's kind of dead. But not dead enough to be pinned. Or at least, Tankman's not going to do it yet. Lots of... but still, like, more trash talking, so we're not even going to get the three count out of that. Or even the two count, because there was just no pinfalls in general, just trash talking. This gives Moriarty a time to wake up, try to get some spirit forearms. Doesn't quite work that well, gets a big headbutt for his efforts, but he gets some kicks in and takes Tankman down with a big knee to the face. Standing octopus stretch kind of, at least temporarily, neutralizes Tankman. Tankman, though, gets slung through the ropes, well, half through the ropes by Moriarty. Moriarty charges through and gets hit with a power slam on the apron. That was rather nifty because Tankman was, like, dangling over the middle rope and caught Moriarty to hit him with that power slam. But going back into the ring, Moriarty fires up, gets some palm strikes in before he gets a pop-up powerbomb for his efforts. Comes back then, gets a big kick for a two count, which is kind of impressive the way this match has been going. Moriarty comes off the top rope and gets back a sick. He may be unconscious, but not unconscious enough to counter attempt of the Tankman driver. Gets out of the Tankman driver. Goes for a running springboard. Tankman catches him off the springboard, hits the Tankman driver. We get the 1, 2, 3. Your winner, Calvin Tankman. After the match, we get a show of respect between Tankman and Moriarty. Alicia Toot comes out with American Top Team, at least the variation that's just King Mo and the Suplex Assassin, Alex Kane. They come out, they offer a spot to Tankman, and Tankman agrees to think it over. We'll break this down into two parts. First of all, the match was solid. It was a good match between the two of them. Really helped solidify Moriarty as a solid face in peril, scrappy youngster who's willing to fight until the death. And then of course Tankman, wrestles like a beast and showed it here in this match. So solid opener between the two of them. What's more interesting, though, is the American Top Team thing going on, and let's just face it, I have no love for King Mo, but I was kind of interested to see where this would go, just because Tankman's just kind of floated around as being, has been courted or associated with at least one other act before. He was a peripheral member of Injustice, however briefly, at least during the war with Contra. And now he's being scouted by American Top Team, but we're not sure if he will take that quite yet. So we will see where that goes. If American Top Team gets some new talent, at least they got to replace Dan Lambert with somebody, right? I don't know. I guess Tankman would fit the role of Dan Lambert. Not really. Two totally different types of folk there. Anyway, but we're going to move on. Never mind that. We get a pre-recorded Contra video noting that Alexander Hammerstone is now Hammer Two Belts, but he's only got one leg. The Contra has taken their trophy, and it was the fractured ankle of Alexander Hammerstone. With the final battle in sight, we will go to War Chamber. That's right, Contra is teasing the War Games-esque event MLW has been carting out over the last few years. I do think... if we're going to ignore like the storyline purposes of this, I do find it interesting that Contra is, especially Sam Bael's, carting this out, because if I recall correctly, Contra is 0-1 in the War Chamber event. They done lost Team Filthy back a couple of years ago. But, what do I know? I'm not the mastermind of a, wrestling terrorist organization. Or do I throw fireballs or spike people or talk about things in Kathmandu? Okay, that's a lie. I totally talk about places in Kathmandu just because I'm trying to quote Joseph Samael. There. That's settled. Got that figured out. Good talk, team. Good talk. All right, backstage, we have Cesar Duran. He is talking to someone on the phone. They have failed. There will be consequences. Your boy Hammer appears with both belts. He appears to relinquish the National Openweight Championship. The only owner of said title lays it on Cesar's desk. He calls the belt the biggest opportunity of his career, and the biggest, and up until he won the World Heavyweight Championship, it was the biggest match of his career. And he really just kind of hates it when people climb to the top and then take the ladder with them. So he's not going to do that. And he's going to give someone else the opportunity to be champion and hopefully, dethrone him some year. But, you know, that's not the end of Hammer. Obviously, he's still the World Heavyweight Champion. And Duran is suitably impressed that he wants Hammer to lead the charge against Contra in the Warhammer event. Hammer agrees to do so, but he will field his own team rather than getting the handpick people from Cesar Duran. As the segment ends, we can't hear Cesar. He's saying something. I don't know. Like, that's like one of my biggest pet peeves about the Cesar Duran segments is a lot of times, like, he's not mic'd up properly. So he could be, like, filling in every plot hole known to man, and I wouldn't know it without pausing it and cranking it and playing it again. And I'm just not willing to do that. Like, just get it right the first time. Or just let him scream like Hammer screams and it'll be fine. But nope, we can't hear him. So... But speaking of Mr. Duran and his quiet, dulcet tones, we have Alicia Tute fresh off her MLW embedded notoriety. She's bringing us an expose about Cesar Duran's last nights in his Boyle Heights ventures. We got some footage of him in his office hastily packing up some things real quick before running off into a vehicle. They note that he has been sighted in Rio de Janeiro, Mexico, and now back in America. We have some footage of him on the phone talking to another mysterious person. He notes that he's a wolf in the hen house and that he'll be more cautious this time, a lot more cautious than he was back in Boyle Heights. We also get some night vision footage of a female seen rifling through Cesar's desk after he left, and that's the part that we're going to lead to a lot of speculation. I mean, Cesar is a businessman. He's talking to weird, shady folks all the time, but what we don't get to see is people rifle through his desk, and this could set off rumors abound. I mean, Selena De La Renta is still considered a free agent, and those two have history. She may or may not have been kidnapped previously, so it would only make sense for her to have done something to be worthy of being kidnapped outside of being, you know, a very successful producer in Major League Wrestling. But the more interesting thing is that the rumors swirling around that Katrina, Carly Perez, the former handler of Mil Muertes, now known as King Muertes, has been seen with MLW folk. So we might have another power player from Cesar's past coming into play now, which could be especially intriguing if it is Katrina, given their history with King Muertes, who's kind of been kind of a pawn for Cesar during this return. What this will reveal, and we don't know yet, so we're just going to have to stay tuned and keep on riding this wild ride. All right, but before we get that, we're going to take a brief pause for the cause, shill some energy drinks and whatnot. I'll be back in one moment.
Now, whether you're someone who works out, or, like me, needs to maintain focus and mental clarity, we could all use a pick-me-up. That's where Raise Energy steps in. With Refresh technology, Raise provides a hydrating, sugar-free boost of energy without the crash some other energy drinks have. You can find out where you can get Raise Energy near you by visiting www.repsports.com. And while you're there, check out the other products that Rep offers, such as pre- and post-workout supplements and snacks. And if you want some extra savings, order online and apply my discount code CASS, that's C-A-S-S, at checkout for 15% off your order.
All right, we are back, and we got some Filthy Tom Lawler talking head action. He's taking on Davey Richards tonight, and Davey Richards likes to howl like the wolf. You know, he's going like, "Ow!" But after Richards is done with him, he's going to be like, "Ow! Ow! Ow!" And the Copper Cup is obviously coming back home and will be covered in filth. We got some also a little graphic giving us the heads up what's coming up in the future. Next week, we are getting Calvin Tankman taking on Matt Cross in some first round Opera Cup action. We will also get the lowdown on Fusion on Thanksgiving. We are bringing back the great tradition of professional wrestling on your Thanksgiving evening, and we're going to have some Major League Wrestling in the process. But we got plenty of time before that happens, so let's get some featherweight action. Our second featherweight match, at least the second one that's being brought to us in chronological order, Brittany Blake taking on Delmi Exo of the Sea Stars. We got to see both these competitors debut last week, at least backstage. Brittany Blake, nobody likes her, so everyone gets quiet when she's around. And Delmi is part of the Sea Stars with her sister Ashley Vokes, who hung out with Willow Nightingale before they had to tangle last week. Anywho, we has match, so let's call it. Blake takes some cheap shots early on. Delmi gets the better of her thanks to wrestling. Northern Lights suplex 4-2. Misses some big knees in the corner, though, allowing Blake to hit a rope-assisted backbreaker and some traditional supervillain choking action. Blake keeps Delmi grounded for an extended period of time using moves like the 619 and a rope guillotine. Unfortunately, though, eventually she just makes Delmi Exo very angry, and Exo responds by hitting a series of short arm clotheslines and then taking the cutter for two. Blake comes back briefly with an enziguri and a tornado DDT for a two count of her own. Blake unfortunately misses a top rope double stomp and gets pedigreed for her efforts. 1-2-3. Your winner, Delmi Exo. The Sea Stars collectively are 1-1 in Major League Wrestling. Solid matchup between the two. Nice little jaunt, quick to the point. Could have gone on longer, but yeah, why not? Told everything it needed to, so there's no point in going on any longer than it needs to, which, you know, is a valuable lesson to learn. The two toots were mine. She didn't actually do that. She didn't channel her inner Uncle Fred. But in addition to the news of Willow being the power of the women's division, Will Ospreay is making his debut for MLW in December. They didn't give a date, didn't give an opponent. But again, this is pretty big news for MLW, despite, well, like everyone else they tried out, and I'm not a big fan of. And invites Nduka to be the first member of Team Hammer, Team MLW, in the War Chamber. Nduka, he's all for that, because he's tired of Contra sticking their heads in everybody's business and running the joint. Following this segment, we get a talking head segment with Davey Richards. He notes that fighters, whether it's in a cage or in a professional wrestling ring, are, I guess, Copper Cup, because that's what he's fighting for. I don't know. Anyway, winning is all about heart, and tonight he's going to prove that he has more heart than Filthy Tom Lawler. We get another segment featuring Cesar Duran. He knows that he has seen the expose driving around. But ultimately it doesn't matter as long as he's entertaining. And you know what? He is the best darn wrestling promoter in the business today. So, can't argue with results, I guess. We get notice from Dr. Schwegler, some medical updates, just mostly featuring the Dynasty. Richard Holiday may or may not have a concussion. He is day-to-day as he's passing the impact testing protocols. And your boy, World Heavyweight Championship holder Alexander Hammerstone, has a hairline fracture to his ankle, which he received during the match with Jacob Fatu. We get a brief War Chamber update. It looks like both members of the Dynasty, Richard Holiday and your boy Hammer, and EJ Nduka, plus a mystery partner, will be taking on the Contra unit at the War Chamber event itself. All right, it is time for our main event, first round of the Opera Cup. Last year's winner, Filthy Tom Lawler, taking on Davey Richards. Davey just trains in it. Tom fought in the UFC for a decade. Davey gets the advantage after tying up Tom's arm in the rope, waits to four count, and then kicks the rope, lets the ref know. 5. They go outside for a bit. Richards is whipped into the steel guardrail. We get a brawl, which Tom is, the victor in, and runs Richards' arm into the ring post. In the ring, Lawler remains in control for a bit before Richards comes back with some kicks and a dragon screw leg whip into the ropes. Richards hits a trailer hitch in the ring, but Tom gets to the ropes to break the hold. Tom just like hops up just randomly and hits a guillotine because it's not an impact maneuver. Locks on a guillotine, but Richards is eventually able to pick the ankle and roll that into an ankle lock. Lawler gets out of that. Richards hits his big double stomp, only gets a two, but as soon as the kickout happens, he nabs the ankle and puts on the ankle lock again. Tom, being the tactician that he is, locks in a triangle choke, but Davey is smart. Picks back the ankle and just holds it on for entirely too long. So long that Tom has no choice than to flip off the crowd, giving them the double birds, and passes out. Your winner by ref stoppage, the obscenely sweaty Davey Richards. But you know who else is obscenely sweaty? Tom Lawler. He gets dragged out of the ring by Team Filthy member Kevin Koo. He really wants the Opera Cup. He's also concussed. And Koo's like, no, we're not getting that. No, come on. And just drags him away. Oh, there's so much sweat in this match, though. So much sweat. Just two sweaty guys, man. But a solid match between the two of them. We got some nice brawling, of course, and then a lot of grappling. So if grappling is your thing, the MMA-style action, this match is obviously for you. But despite this being the main event, this is not all. We got some more backstage shenanigans coming in. Richard Holiday meets with Cesar Duran, or Caesar Duran, whichever. Duran notes that Holiday's girlfriend is playing a dangerous game with that expose. Well, Holiday, you know, totally denies that Alicia Toot is his girlfriend. And Cesar's like, whatever. You just know that he has purchased IWA Puerto Rico, and that, well, you know, Richard Holiday, coffee magnate, if you will, is the IWA Puerto Rico Caribbean champion. So it looks like we are going to get that match, despite the protestations of Holiday, and that will be against King Muertes. So, first time in a while we get to see the IWA Puerto Rican Caribbean Championship on the line. Banger of a match, potentially, with King Muertes. And we are our show with Injustice. They are going to cut a promo on 5150. They want 5150 to stop attacking them from behind and put some respect on the Injustice name when 5150 appears and just beats the snot out of them. Hope they learned their lesson. Good job, Injustice. You invoked the name of people. They showed up and kicked your behinds. And then they drive away. Because that's what you do after you beat up some street thugs. You drive away. And then, hot cocoa. You know what? I think it's time for me to drive away, too, because I could really use some hot cocoa. So in that case, I'm going to bid you all adieu. Thank you all for listening. Stay tuned for the plugs and other ways you can help this show. You know, prepare your own mug of warm cocoa mix and whatnot. And I will see you all next week. Thank you for listening to MLW Confusion. MLW Confusion is written and narrated by Rob Kammer, but is not affiliated with Major League Wrestling. The opening theme is written and performed by Rob Kammer, and what you are listening to right now is Ruined My Day by Alan L. Schroeder. If you enjoyed the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Also, be sure to tell your friends, family, and enemies about the show. Word of mouth is very important to us small businesses. You can also get up to date with the thoughts and ramblings at the social media at the links in the description. If you'd like to support monetarily and help out, and to upgrade our equipment too, by the way, you can in the following ways. First, our virtual tip jar is at www.kofi.com/casanova. That is CASSONOVA. Or, for more bang for your buck, join our Patreon at www.patreon.com/casanova. For as little as $1 a month, you can get access to MLW Confusion early and ad-free, plus get weekly exclusive goodies. So be like the OGs, Maverick45 and Alan Schroeder, and check that out! Also, for your energy, sleep, and workout needs, check out repsports.com and use the coupon code CASS at checkout to get 15% off your order.